Hey, this is Steve Allen. I'm the pastor of Destiny Christian Center in LaPlace, Louisiana. I want to thank you for joining us today on the Discovering Your Destiny broadcast. I hope it builds your faith, helps you to grow in every area of your life. Enjoy this message.
Recently, we've been dealing with the subject of bitterness, the poison that we drink. Last week, we started talking about anger, and we're going to continue dealing with anger on today. But let's read our foundational text, Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 15. You have your Bibles? Yes. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 15. You should almost know this by now, but we're going to read it. Listen what it says. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Again, we started talking about anger on last week. And last week we dealt with the different labels of anger. We talked about the anger avoiders. They keep anger on the inside. They're mad at you, but they won't let you know. Then we talked about the anger exploders. These people express their anger often and freely. They have no problem letting you know that they're angry. Number three, we talked about the anger exploiters. These people enjoy the power that comes from anger. They rule people. They control people with their anger. We talk about the anger grumps. They're critical about everything. Critical about everything and everybody. Then we talked about angry, passive-aggressive people. These people, they have an aggressive behavior that's expressed in a passive way. Then we talked about the anger retreaters. These are the people that use the silent treatment. Anybody use the silent treatment this week? Okay, we'll move along. Then we talked about the anger savers. These people, they store up anger. I use the example when I was a kid. My mother used to collect S&H stamps. Anybody know about S&H stamps? S&H stamps. You go to a grocery store, and after you shop, they give you these stamps, and then you have a book. You just load the book up. When the book gets filled, you go back to the store, and you can trade the book in for merchandise. And we said that the anger saver is just like that person. They just keep on putting stamps in the book until the book is full. And when the book is full, it don't matter what the anger is about. They just explode. They cash it in. So they're anger savers. Now, let's define our term again. Anger is a strong emotion of irritation that occurs when a need or an expectation is not met. It's a strong feeling of annoyance, it's a strong feeling of displeasure, and it's a strong feeling of hostility. Now, my goal in these lessons is for our lives to be conformed to the image of Christ. We ought to become more like Christ every day. God wants us to mature. And he wants to be glorified even with our behavior. Our behavior ought to glorify God. Now, let's go back to James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures today. And again, we won't be very long, but we'll be long enough. James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to read this in three different versions of the Bible. The King James Version says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." The Amplified Version of the Bible says, oh, those verses, "Understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and slow to get angry. For man's anger does not promote the righteousness of God wishes and requires." The Message Bible says of these verses, "Post this at all the intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness does not grow from human anger. So throw all spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener God landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life." Now, James says that we must be slow to anger because it does not promote the righteousness of God. Some years ago, I want to share this with you. I had a very bad experience at a place of business with the owner of this business. I felt like he had disrespected me. And I got so angry that I started pacing the floor in the place. So I wanted to make sure that I didn't say the wrong thing. So I started walking. And the Lord spoke to me and said, what if you had the power to curse this place like Jesus cursed the fig tree? What would you do right now? And you know what I said? Dry it up, Lord. Just being honest with you. I said, dry it up. You know what the Lord said to me? That's why I'm God and you're not. And what I had to do, first of all, I had to repent to God. And then I had to call and talk to the owner of this business and show him God and stop showing him me. Listen to me. No matter what other folk do to you, you've got to take responsibility and you've got to deal with your own issues. See, what happens with us is we often play the blame game, but our anger is our responsibility and we've got to take control over our anger. Go to Proverbs 16 and 32. Proverbs 16 and 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. The Amplified says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty. He who rules his own spirit than he who takes the city. Now, with God's help, we can rule anger instead of anger ruling us. And in prayer, what we got to learn how to do is we got to ask God to give us grace to forgive everybody that has ever wronged us. And he'll give you the power to forgive folk that you thought you could never forgive. Now, most anger is produced by jealousy, it's produced by revenge, it's produced by strife, and it's produced by hate. And we've got to realize that it doesn't just affect us personally, but it affects those that we're tied to in relationships. Because anger, first of all, is a spirit, and spirits are transferable. So when I'm angry, I have a spirit on me, and that spirit is transferable. I've got to be careful with it because I can transfer it to my kids. I got to be careful with it because a spouse can transfer that anger to her, to your husband or your wife. Or you can transfer, and see, kids are just wide open to spirits. So you've got to be careful, and that's why I say it's so important for us as parents. We got to make sure that we keep ourselves right, because what's on us is going to be on our children. So we've got to be careful with this spirit of anger. Let me show you this. Go to Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22 and verses 24 and 25. And I'll read this in three versions of the Bible as well, so we can get a good understanding. Verses 24 and 25 in Proverbs 22. Look at what it says. Look at what it says here. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. The Amplified version of the Bible says, make no friendship with a man given to anger, and with a wrathful man do not associate, lest you learn his ways and get yourself in a snare. The Message Bible says this: do not hang out with angry people. Don't keep company with hotheads. Bad temper is contagious. Don't get infected. The spirit of anger is transferable. So this means that we've got to be careful with whom we associate with. Some of you right now, there are certain people that you don't like, and you don't even know why you don't like them. We use that same old saying, just something about them. Just. Why you don't like it? Just something about it. I don't know. I can't put my hand on it, but it's just something. Could it be that you've been infected by an angry associate? Could it be that the person that you've been hanging out with has now put their poison in you? You gotta be careful with that, man. You're sitting around entertaining conversations with people about other people, and then next thing you know, you don't like these people and they've never done anything to you. Oh, y'all know I'm telling the truth. When I first started pastoring out here, I had somebody wanted to tell me about everybody in La Place, everybody in the River Parish. They told me, oh, don't trust them. Ooh, they're bad. I'm telling you, don't trust them. Then somebody else would come, ooh, that one there, I know that one. And you know what I found out? The person that was telling me is the one I couldn't trust. You gotta be careful with those that you associate with. Now, let me give you some of the behaviors that anger will produce. Number one is grudges. Anger produces grudges, which means you're holding resentment or you're holding ill will in your heart. I'm going to go back to the text that we ended up with on last week in Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27. It says, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The Amplified Version of the Bible says, when angry, do not sin. Do not ever let wrath, exasperation. The devil is a liar. Hey, but you know, if I don't know a word, we're going to just skip over it. I ain't trying to fool nobody. But anyway, exasperation. where am I here? What verse am I in? I done lost my scripture on this thing here. What verse was I on? 26, yeah, all right. Your fury or indignation lasts until the sun goes down. Now, this is real prevalent among married people. Listen to me. How many married people do I have here? If you're having a problem with your spouse, get it straight before you go to sleep. Not even a grunt on that one. because if not, what you do is you open the gates of your spirit and you allow the devil to come in, and he takes access to you, and he'll plant imaginations in your mind overnight. And you can wake up in a rage. You can wake up in a rage. Let me tell you something about grudges. Carrying a grudge requires work. Can you imagine? And I want you to picture this as a grudge. And can you imagine everywhere you go, you got to carry this thing? My God. I'm in the mall. I got to carry my grudge. I'm at the restaurant. When I get to the restaurant, I say, I need a table for two. One for me, and one for my grudge. But everywhere I go, I got to carry this thing with me. Can you imagine that? Everywhere you go now, you know, I want you to get a visual of how you look when you carry a grudge. Can you imagine this, trying to sleep with a grudge? Man, you can't get comfortable. You turn on this side, the grudge is there. Turn on the other side, that old grudge. I mean, you even flip the pillow over trying to get the cool side. But the grudge won't allow you to get comfortable. And guess what? You're carrying it on purpose. Now when I pulled this out this morning, I thought about this as I was getting ready to leave, and there was a tag on here says, caution when lifting. They put this tag on because the person, the last person that used this bag, had a lot of heavy stuff like makeup, curling irons. it was heavy. So they put this on here. But I looked at it, I said, you know, man, you got to take caution when you're picking up a grudge. You got to be careful when you're picking up a grudge. It's, you know, the crazy thing is heavy, but you like carrying it. You feel better when you're carrying this grudge. Just walking all over the place. I want you to see yourself. I want you to see yourself with this old grudge. And you know, sometimes you walk off and you forget you're mad with the person that you're mad with. I don't talk to you. Hold on a minute. You get my grudge. What am I doing talking to you? Now, you know, now this seems funny, but this is real. How many of us are walking around every day carrying a grudge? How many of you are still mad with people in your past? How many of you have been mad so long that you forgot what you're mad about? I don't know what it was. We got into it about something, but we don't talk. And you're walking around, and it's work. It's work. You can't sleep at night. You're turning, you're twisting, because you got a grudge in your heart. Carrying a grudge is work. Now, it's much easier to be free. Oh, somebody shout, I want to be free. But this is what we look like. Number two, anger produces harsh speaking. Go to Ephesians 4 and 31. It says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Angry people will say anything to hurt people. See, first thing you have to understand is that angry people are hurting. And people that are hurting want other people to hurt. Now, the text says that we must put away evil speaking. And I want you to listen to this. The fact that the scripture instructs us to put away something means that we can put it away. Because God would be unfair to instruct us to do something that we weren't able to do. So you can put it away. But it has to be done with and by the power of the Holy Spirit and submitting to his authority. You've got to get to the place where you say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. So we have the power over profanity. Where are my cusses? Don't you lie in here. Come on, put them up, cusses. You're the ex-cusser? Put your foot out there, let me see something. I want to see if I jump on your foot, if you'll still be an ex. But look. You don't have to use profanity to express yourself. Now, you may feel within yourself that, oh, I got to cuss. Oh, it just wouldn't be right. I'm not going to be able to get my point across if I don't get just one cuss word in there. But you don't have to. You don't have to. Insults. Any folk insult people all the time? You're just like the other crowd. I had people owning up to cussing, but they won't own up to insulting people. What about slandering? You slander folk. You don't say what you want to say, but you just say it in a roundabout way so they can hear it. These things can be put away. You don't have to live the rest of your life dealing with this stuff, because God says to us to put away this stuff. So if he says to put it away, it means that he has given us the power to do it. So we've got to learn how to take authority over it. Number three, anger produces unwise decisions. An angry person cannot make wise decisions because their decisions are based on their emotions at that time. Proverbs 14 and 17. Proverbs 14 and 17. You there? Okay, I am. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Let's see what the Amplified says of this verse. He who foams up quickly and flies into a passion deals foolishly, and a man of wicked plots and plans is hated. My proverb says this. This is what I say. He who flies off the handle never opens the door. Angry people behave emotionally. They'll do anything. And you know what? When we're angry, we do crazy stuff. And we do stuff that we're sorry about later. Anybody ever been there? You did something out of anger, and then afterwards you were sorry about it. Come on, let me see some hands. Come on, come on, come on. Help me out. I don't want to be here by myself. People have quit jobs when they were angry. And while they were caught up in that emotion, it felt good. I'm quit. I ain't working here. I don't want nothing else to do with this job. And you're walking off and wondering if they're going to stop you. I'm going. I'm leaving. I cleaned my desk out. And the people ain't saying nothing to you. And then when you cool off, you start thinking about, boy, I got bills. I got some bills I got to pay. You try to figure out if you can go back and make up. Some people have separate relationships out of anger and don't know how to go back. Listen to me. If you messed up a relationship because of your anger, be mature enough to repent rather than going around miserable for the rest of your life. Some of you are looking at me right now. You got people that you miss. You miss right now, but you've severed that relationship because you were angry and you're too prideful to go back and say, I was wrong. So now you're miserable and you want to be back in relationship. And I'm not talking about these boyfriend, girlfriend stuff, not necessarily that, but I'm just talking about people that you love. And you want to be back in relationship with them, but your pride won't allow you to go. Go back and say, look, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I messed up. Let's work it out. We can't be so prideful. And men, we have it bad. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, man. We have it bad, man. We'll say something wrong to our wife, and man, we're just too proud to go back and say, look, baby, I'm sorry. I was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. No, we'd rather sleep in the doghouse than to say that we're sorry for something we did. We mess up. So if you messed up, say, look, baby, look, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have handled you that way. Be humble enough. And see, you're trying to be all bold and big and bad, but that woman says she's going to leave you. You'll be around at my desk crying. You know you don't want the woman to leave you. I know you want to be bold in front of everybody else. I don't need her. I'm good. I'm all right. I'm all right. That little bottom lip shaking. Your boy's asking you, hey man, how's your wife? She all right? Mm. rather than going through all of that, baby, sorry. Messed up. Forgive me. It don't make you soft because you apologize when you're wrong. It makes you a wise person. It makes you a Christian. It makes you a child of God. See, you have to practice these principles in your marriage too. Look how y'all looking at me. Look at your neighbor and say, don't look at my pastor like that. Go to Ecclesiastes 7 and 9 for me. I'll read this in the Amplified version of the Bible only. Do not be quick in spirit to be angry or vexed, for anger and vexation lodge in the bosom of fools. Let me read it in the Message Bible. Don't be quick to fly off the handle. Anger boomerangs. You can spot a fool by the lumps on his head. Now you'll notice the scripture uses the word fool. And you know, I was thinking about this morning. I remember the time when if somebody called you a fool, it was an insult. But now we live in the time where being called a fool is a compliment. We get mad at people and we go around bragging about it. Girl, I acted a fool up in there. I set it off. When did it become a compliment? Boy, he a fool with his. Oh, I mean, he's a fool with it. Let me help you. Let me help you. Let me help you. I did a word study, and I found out some words that's associated with the word fool. Unwise. Just a word study. Idiot. Numbskull. Stupid. Brainless. Unintelligent. Scatterbrained. Thoughtless. Cuckoo for Cocoa Pops. Nutty. And boneheaded. So understand that this is not a good look. You don't want to be called a fool. Tell somebody, don't call me a fool. Now, as believers, we should not be controlled by anger. One part of the fruit of the Spirit is temperance. I'll just read it for you real quick. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, temperance means self-restraint or moderation of one's emotions. Now, we're not exempt from anger, but we should not be controlled by anger. Anger is directly related to your walk with God. See, when you get rooted and grounded in the love of God, things will change. And you'll control anger, and anger will not control you. I'll go back to Ephesians 4 and we'll close with this. Ephesians 4, 31 through 32. 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Now, Paul shows us what happens when Satan begins his dirty work in our lives. It's progressive. He says bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and then it gets to malice. Now, malice means the desire to harm. See, it'll start in one place, but Satan's objective always is destruction. He wants to destroy. He either wants you to destroy somebody or he wants somebody to destroy you. And see, can't you see how foolish this is? When we're angry and when we're moving in this direction, the devil is sitting back laughing at us. Yeah. and applauding at us. But verse 32 tells us what we have to do. It says, be kind, tenderhearted, compassionate, and understanding. We've got to get to the place where we stop allowing anger to rule us and we start ruling our anger. Now, I got a transparent moment for you. A very transparent moment. I say it to you, and I say this all the time, that whenever I teach on something, there's always a test. And some of you can say, hey man, you taught on anger this week. I had so many opportunities to get angry. Anybody had an opportunity this week to get angry? Or since I've been talking about bitterness, to get bitter about something? It's always, after the lesson, there's always a test. Well, guess what? After the lesson, I got tested. I got tested right after the lesson. Now, y'all know I'm going to be real with you, and I'll be transparent. My birthday was on the 24th. So, let me just tell you how I was thinking. Sunday, I said, okay, they're gonna celebrate my birthday on Sunday. So, I taught my little lesson, and I'm waiting. I'm getting ready to close out the church. I said, somebody coming. I'm doing much prayer real slow. I'm like, I know they're coming. I know we ain't closing out. And I got through the whole thing. And nobody ever came. That was 8 o'clock. So 10 o'clock came. I said, oh, yeah. They're waiting to 10. That's what they're doing. They're waiting to 10. And then, man, they're going to let me have it at 10. Boy, I'm telling you, they're going to celebrate my birthday at 10. Much prayer. Much prayer. Nobody ever came. I said, you mean to tell me these people are going to wait till 12 o'clock? And they're going to all come back to church at 12? And we're going to just have a party. 12 came and gone. Came and went. And can I be honest with you? I got angry. I did. I really and truly got angry. And I started talking to myself. I was pouting. Y'all know I'm real. I'm gonna tell you just like it. I'm pouting, man. I'm talking to myself. You mean to tell me they ain't said nothing about my birthday? I ain't even get a cupcake. I mean nothing. They didn't even sing happy birthday to me. So then I start, you know, other pastors, they celebrate their birthday the whole month. I can't even get a day. Boy, I'm so mad. I started to say I was mad for a moment, but I would be lying. I was mad for days. I'm being honest with you. I was mad for days. I had to go to a business meeting in Houston on Thursday. I went early on Wednesday just not to come preach. I ain't preaching. Hey, petty pastor moment. I'm being honest with you. I'm just there. They don't appreciate me. I'm talking to myself. You know, you can talk to yourself, boy, and you can have all kinds of, they don't appreciate me. You know, every Sunday, I'm up there treating somebody for their birthday. It's your birthday? Hey, where you want to go? And I said, well, wow. And I got angry. But I had to move on from it because I realized that was my test after the lesson. And I'll be honest, for 3 days, I failed that test. But then I came to myself like the prodigal son. And I said, you know, you can't allow this to happen to you, son. You got to realize that this is a moment, this is a teachable moment. It was a teachable moment for me, and it's a teachable moment for you. Because the truth of the matter is, you should do something for my birthday. And I have Bible for that. 1 Timothy 5 and 17, and the Message Bible says, give a bonus to leaders who do a good job. Now, if you don't think I do a good job, don't give me nothing. Especially the ones who work hard at preaching and teaching. Now, I may not hoop, but I teach. And then the scripture tells us, don't muzzle a working ox, and a worker deserves his pay. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible also says that if I give to you that which is spiritual, you ought to give to me that which is natural. So, yes, the truth of the matter is, you should be a blessing to your pastor for his birthday. And see, let me tell you what has happened with us. When I first started pastoring, I never wanted all the celebrations like I saw when I was coming up for anniversaries and birthdays. I was like, hey, man, let's just do it. We don't have to have a whole lot of, you know, hooray and hoorah about it. Let's just do it. So I never wanted an anniversary where they roll the red carpet down the aisle and me and First Lady walk in. She got on the hat. You got the duck because her hat's so big. And then I call in some preacher from out of town or something to come to preach to you and tell you about, you know, you got a good pastor. I don't need all that because you know me. We know each other. So I don't need anybody to come here to talk to you about me. I never wanted that. I never wanted that. I never wanted, I got my gold members and my platinum members. You're going to give this much for the pastor's anniversary or the pastor's. I never wanted any of that. But I think because I was so adamant about not doing that type of stuff, we didn't get a middle ground. So we went from the extreme to nothing. And see, God can bless us with nothing. And I don't need anybody to tell you that. I can tell you that myself. So I need to use this as a teachable moment for myself and for you. Because the truth is, God will bless you when you bless your pastor. Now, let me say this for the one that just said this. You don't need nothing. And see, that's what happens. That's what happens. What he need? What the big ball that need? He out here throwing hundreds of people. What he need? It's not about need. You know what it's about? It's about honor. And we've got to learn to honor your gift. Because a pastor is the gift to a church. Yep. It's God's heart, God's gift from his heart to the church. So we've got to learn how to honor. But I got angry. The bottom line is, I got angry, and it was a teachable moment for me. And I'm saying this to you. As we go forward, realize that you're going to be tested on these lessons. And I want you to be aware of it. And the enemy knows the tricks that he needs to play on you. He knows what's going to get to you. He knows what buttons to push. He knows. He knows what buttons to push. So you got to be aware of it. And when he shows up and he starts pushing buttons, you tell him, nope, ain't falling for that one again. I'm not coming down there. I'm going to stay up here.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the message today. If you're ever in the greater New Orleans area, please visit Destiny Christian Center at 612 Main Street in La Place, Louisiana. If not, you can visit us at destinychristian.org/radio.